Hilchot Yom Kippur. Seida Asara Shemei Tshuva. Right? B'chol hayamim shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim ma'abim v'tfilis v'tachnunim. Those are the 10 days of repentance. You do a lot of davening and supplications. Because this is the time, kibiyochol, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closer to us. And when the melech's around, we proclaim his malchus. So we say Avinu Malkeinu. We have HaMelech HaKadosh, HaMelech HaMishpat, right? We already mentioned those things. There's a big inyan to prayer at this stage. Prayer and tshuva and things which are ma'orer us to tshuva. Okay. Now, next halacha. Af al pi she'eino nizah mipat shel akum ba'asar she'mei tshuva tzarek lezaheh. Even though he's not careful with non-Jewish kosher bread during the rest of the year, on these 10 days he should be careful. And even after the 10 days, he's going to go back to eat kosher, non-Jewish bread, right? Doesn't matter. Again, the same concept. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, we're extra careful, i.e., we're extra careful in our actions these times. Also, the concept is the beginning of the year, has a hashpa on the whole year, has an influence on the whole year. I.e., these 10 days can influence dramatically our whole year, just like a birth. The birth, whatever happens at birth, can less oxygen, you know, some problem at birth can affect the child for the whole of his life. So too, the beginning of the year can affect the whole year afterwards. Okay? Yeah. Next. It's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur ularbot suda, to have a lot of sudas, right? Because it says, someone who eats on Erev Yom Kippur is if he fasted on Yom Kippur. It's as if it's a big mitzvah to eat. Huh?
So he fasted on Tet Tishrei also, right?
Yeah. So, okay. So it's a basic halacha. Now, some people, there's a Reb Chaim, some people, it's a din, eating the whole day, so they put a sweet in their mouth. Mikra din, it's much from the Mogen of Rom here, to din in Suda. Din in having more than regular meals. So you have two meals, you have three meals. Some people have four meals if they have three meals. But don't overdo it. Now, there's a special halacha here. You shouldn't eat things, a lot of milk products, things which are sharp, spicy, meat, and you shouldn't overeat. Because all those things, right, eggs also, you shouldn't overeat with eggs. Maybe in the morning you have a little bit of milk, a little bit of eggs, but not towards the night. Because all these things increases a person's, increases his the Ava of connection, where you comes out from that Ava. You know, increases that.
What?
So a person has to be especially careful on Yom Kippur, because that things can happen to a person. Okay.
I wasn't clear. What does it increase?
How do you call it in?
the lower
organ.
Oh, okay.
That liquid there. It increases. So those things should be careful, because there's a special inyan for a person shouldn't, the Kohen Gadol was kept up the whole night so that he wouldn't see anything. There's a certain inyan this shouldn't happen to a person on Yom Kippur. Okay? So therefore also this time a person Erev Yom Kippur, be careful what he sees. You know, you should be seeing things which
No,
you don't have to go as far, that far. You're just getting on a bus. This can be a problem here. Just be careful with his eyes. He's going to be seeing certain things. If he's roaming around the yeshiva, nothing's going to happen to him. You know, sometimes, happens that there's women coming in, coming out. You know, keep his eyes to himself. You're young. And what's it called? You haven't seen girls for a long time being in yeshiva. I'm just telling you, there's an inyan in these things. Okay. All right. What else? Ain nefilas apayim erev Yom Kippur. We don't do nefilas apayim. You'll find we don't do vidui and nefilas apayim erev Yom Kippur, because it's a chag. It's like a chag. All right. Now there's a certain thing. You'll see all these chickens around erev Yom Kippur for a few days already. Probably here, it's already in Haranof, right? The kaparot, what's called kaparot, right? You've heard of these things. You take a chicken around you. You say, "This is my atonement. This is my atonement." The chicken will go to will go away for my forgiveness, and I'll be forgived. It's so Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't do this because it's a minag amoraim, it's a minag of the goyim, shouldn't do it. The Ramor says, yes, you should do it, Tachanas Gaonim, and the Ari says, Al Pi Kabbalah, there's a big Indian to do this. Al Pi Kabbalah, the Indian to do it is just before Alot HaShachar, because then Rachamim Govrim Ba'olam, there's a lot of mercy in the world at that time, and that's, but most of us do it the night before Yom Kippur. If you can't do it the night before Yom Kippur, so you do it beforehand. Let me explain for this. If you can do it and the chicken goes to a poor person, very good. If you can't, if you give it the chicken to a poor person, or if you don't know if the chicken's going to go at all to a poor person, just going to be thrown away, it's better to use that money and give it to tzedakah. So you do the same thing with money. There's a special nusach. You say, this is my kapara, this is my exchange of my sins, and you say, this money will go to tzedakah, and I'll go to Chaim to a good life and peace.
How much money do you need to use it to?
Anything, any amount. It can be the worth of a chicken. It can be, but if you go, it depends on how much a person has. It can be 5 shekels, 10 shekels. How much person? High shekels, 18 shekels, whatever. Then give it to the tzedakah. Again, it's best to give it to yeshiva or to Talmidei Chachamim who are poor. Right, that's right. So whatever you want to do, you see, erev Yom Kippur, there'll be a whole lot of, I don't know, maybe on this yeshiva, probably here as well, there'll be like kupot of different tzedakahs. Okay, so that's the kaparas. You heard it, so you understand what I'm talking about.
So for every Yom Kippur, we're talking about, as far as this week, it'd be Thursday night or something.
This week will be Thursday night. Yeah, this will be Thursday night. So the night before Erev Yom Kippur. Okay, but you don't have to. And the truth is, the money you can do anytime. You can do it before Yom Kippur itself. Anytime you can do it. Many things you, and some people, there's a minhag. Minhag brought down that people, you keep some of the kapara money and you give it to aniyim before sukkahs as an Indian. Whatever. The main thing is you give poor people before sukkahs. Okay, now it says, Averis between man and his friend, Yom Kippur, there's not mikapa. Yom Kippur only does kapara between you and God. In order for Yom Kippur to mikapa the part that's between you and God, you have to mefayis chaver. That means you have to appease him. It means even if you just hurt him with words, right? You just annoyed him, whatever, you have to ask for forgiveness and appease him.
This is a person.
Personal, you know, you hurt someone. This includes parents, this includes relatives, this includes, it's usually the people who you're close to, so roommates, right? Chavrusas, right? It's easy to ask people forgiveness who are distant from you. People who are close to you, you have to ask for forgiveness. So yeah, and you have to appease them. That means you have to earnestly ask them forgiveness. And they have to, I'll tell you a story of one big rabbi that someone said something not so nice to him. So he came up to him and said, Rabbi, can you forgive me? So the rabbi said, no. You're a big rabbi, why can't you forgive me? He says, come back to me in a week's time. So he came back to me in a week's time and says, yeah, now I can forgive you. What do you mean? A lot of us, we go to the person and says, forgive me? Says, yeah, I forgive you. Yeah, it's okay. Mochel. I forgive. And really, we haven't really forgiven. You haven't really forgotten. Forgive means, limchol means, but doesn't exist anymore. That situation that you had, or between the two of you, you don't remember anymore. It's gone from your memory. It's erased. That's a hard thing to do. Someone really hurt us, it's hard to erase it. So when that rabbi said, come back in a week's time, it's an avoda, it's a work to erase when someone hurts you. That's a big avoda. And there's a minhag before the davening, Erev Yom Kippur, we all say, as part of the tefillah before, so we're all mochel each other, because it's an important thing. It's not only kapara of an individual, right? When there's avoda space in Mikdash, and we do kain the avoda, the korbanos, tefillas musaf, Korbanos, the Seir Azazel, all the things in Tfilis Musaf. We go through all the state of the Avoda, which I'm sure you guys know. So it's Ki'ilu, it's Atfila, is as if we're doing the Avoda, right? Our davening is Ke'en the Avoda. So the Kapara of Yom Kippur is not only an individual Kapara. Kapara means Kinuach, means cleansing. It's not only individual cleansing, it's cleansing for the whole of Jewish people. That means, if another Jew hurt you and you don't forgive him, there's a blemish in the Jewish people. I mean, there's a part of the Jewish people which will not have kapara. So it's important for us to forgive our friends earnestly and to work on that, to earnestly forgive our friends. And if we forgive our friends, right? Midah keneged midah, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive us. Yeah.
But this halacha applies not just to Klal Yisrael with respect to asking for forgiveness and trying to appease people, right? It applies also if you hurt somebody outside of Klal Yisrael.
Yeah, if you hurt anyone, yeah. Anyone of you hurt, yeah.
Just if you hurt someone. Based on the blemish.
If you've hurt any person, you have to ask for forgiveness, yeah.
If you're like, if you know you hurt someone, maybe you hurt someone, you don't know what exactly what you hurt them doing, if you just give a generic, say, forgive me for whatever I did to you, is that fine?
Yeah, certain things you shouldn't explain to him. If you know, certain things you can say, oh, you know, please forgive me because I spoke about you and I said this and this. He'll hate you more, right? After you're there, in such a thing, you ask for forgiveness. You know, sometimes you have to be clever more in the way you ask for forgiveness. You don't start listing everything because sometimes he'll hate you more.
Rabbi Parker mentioned this morning that this is only applies to Jews, not outside of the Jewish people.
The kapara, if you hurt someone, right? I don't know if Yom Kippur, I don't know. It's a kapara for the Jewish people, right? But if you made a chilul Hashem, you hurt someone, and it was a wrong thing, I think you do have to ask for forgiveness. I'll be honest with you, I don't really know if in the world around us, if you hurt someone and you went up to them, they would look at it as they think you were weird. If you went up to a person, say you shouted at a person, were nasty to a person, right? You know, a shop owner or whatever, and then Erev Yom Kippur, you go up to say, please forgive me. I was shouting, he won't even know what you're talking about, he'll think you're a weirdo. So, you know what I'm saying? But you're right, generally it's the Jewish people that we're talking about here. You should behave correctly to a non-Jew, and it says Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. I don't know. You know, there's Dinei Nezikin by Goy also. There's Pashtus is also. You have to. You can't be mazik a Goy. You can't hurt them. They also have feelings. If you can't hurt an animal, Koshkein, you can't hurt a non-Jew, right? You don't have to ask the animal forgiveness if you hurt them, right? You don't say, oh please, cow, can I forgive me? I'm gonna give you your food on time, right? You're not gonna do that. But obviously, if you hurt a non-Jew, it's understanding that you can ask him for forgiveness and he'll forgive you. Now, again, it's within the realms. If within the society you live in, this is not something that they think of at all, like, then maybe you don't do that. Because then making a fool of yourself, that may be even worse. It might be a chilul Hashem. If you go around to a person and you ask for forgiveness, doesn't know what you're talking about, you look stupid. It looks like a chilul Hashem. It might even be. I don't know the gedder of it. Like, what's the gedder? You can't hurt anyone. Any human being you can't hurt. If Koshkin, you can't hurt. From an animal, you can't hurt an animal, you can't hurt them. And, you know, there's a dinim, you can't hurt them. Now, it depends. When Ferrari Park was speaking about people who aren't over the Hashem, and that applies to Jews as well, there are certain people you can speak Lashon Hara about, even Jews.
You can
speak Lashon Hara if they're not properly, not people who don't understand Judaism, someone who understands and is not keeping it. Those are people you can speak about. There are certain people you can speak about. I'm not telling you go ahead and speak, it's not good for your midas. And similarly, if you hurt them accidentally or something like that, it might be you don't have to ask them forgiveness. Similar, if a non-Jew is not keeping the 7 mitzvahs of Noach, the Noachai mitzvahs, he might not be in the ghetto of person that you have to worry about, you know, if accidentally you hurt, you might have to ask him for forgiveness. It's the same other concept. Just as a Jew, you might have to ask that person for forgiveness. It depends what you did. You can't, you know, knock his house down, right? You can't damage him. But if you spoke badly about him, right, you might have to ask him for forgiveness. So too, in a non-Jew, if he doesn't keep what's considered some sort of concept of Avodas Hashem, he's also in that ghetto. So that's probably what Rabbi Parker meant. Someone who behaves in an improper way. This is not talking about people. A person who behaves in a proper way, you can't behave to them in an improper way. I'm not talking about damaging. I'm not talking about things which are, you know, I'm talking about talking or hurting them, right? That sort of thing. Someone who's improper in his behavior, so you might not be have to worry about how you behave to him. It's bad for your midas. It's bad for you. You might have to ask him for forgiveness. Yeah.
One question and one sort of question suggestion, so it's a tangent. One is, so what if a Jew or a non-Jew refuses to be appeased? They basically just hold a grudge.
So Shulchan Aruch says, do you go with him with three people, right?
Uh-huh.
Three times, and after you did that, it's his problem. It has to be earnest. There are certain things that he doesn't have to be appeased from. For example, if you slander him, how are you going to... He says, look, you slandered me. You made my name, you blackened my name. How can I forgive you? Go collect all the people, go tell all the people you slandered me to. You can't do that. So how can I forgive you? But it's brought down in halacha that it's midas anava, it's midah of humility to be appeased. And it's always a good thing to appease people. Be appeased. Like I said, how you behave with other people in terms of how you look at them and how you think of them, right? So too, Kodesh Baruch Hu will be with you. Well, you know, we have enough of errors. We have enough things that we need a Kodesh Baruch Hu to appease us and to forgive us. So we should also realize our lackings and appease other people when they did something wrong to us. You know?
The yeah. tangent was Lashon Hara.
Yeah.
Could we at some point talk about sort of what the limits are? To the extent a bad situation happens, it's a first person thing and you relate it to another person, not to slander the other, but to explain or whatever. I'm just curious.
Say it's one person, so you can tell him he made a mistake, it was a slander, right? Or what's called wasn't true.
No, I'm saying, so like, to basically at some point it'd be helpful to define Lashon Hara.
Lashon Hara is a thing. If you say something truthful about a person to another person, right? Not for a purpose, not for a positive purpose, that's called Lashon Hara. If you say something that's untrue about a person to another person, that's called slander. That's called Motzi Shemra. That's worse.
So if you say something true, but that's not nice about another person, that's Lashon Hara.
Yeah.
Then, so you should never vent. You should swallow any bad things that occur or things that happen.
Yeah, say someone hurt you, right?
Yeah.
Between the two of you, right? You don't go around telling everyone about it. It's also for you to tell people about it. Now, if he hurt you and you're coming to a rabbi, you're talking to the rabbi, say, listen, this person hurt me.
Why do you need to say who the person is?
Yeah, you might not, but sometimes you do need to, because you want the rabbi to know who the person is.
Like if it's your father,
yeah,
for
yeah,
instance,
yeah.
So then that changes the versus.
Yeah, that'll change things. Yeah. But and also, you might, the rabbi wants, if he's in boy in yeshiva, he knows who he is, he can help you to sort the situation out. Sometimes the rabbi will even ask you who the person is. Happens to me sometimes. Boys come in and they say something and say, this person, I have a problem with this person, this and this. So, I guess who it is, or I ask the person who it is, because I'm not, you know, because I want to know who the boy is in order to help the person to make shalom, peace between them. Because if you understand the boy, you understand where he's coming from and where the real problem is. So that's our Lashon Hara. That's, you're doing it for a purpose, you're doing it for Te'eres, what's called Te'eres, you're doing it for a purpose. So that's fine.
So basically you should never relate a negative thing about another person ever unless you're doing it for a specific purpose.
Yeah, and this is an important reason.
You don't mention their name though, right?
No, you should mention it, because people might know the names within people might know from the way you describe the situation. You should be careful not to speak bad about other people.
So you can't complain about the behavior of any other. Essentially you have to only be positive
yeah.
in your conversation.
Yeah.
In what instance can you retaliate?
Look, I want to tell you something. There's a very big book written by the Chofetz Chaim with a lot of details of Lashon Hara. We can learn it if you want. But it's very detailed, and believe me, it might be a good idea, but because it's something where it's very lacking in us, because we don't even realize there's not even this concept outside of not speaking bad about other people. It's like, you know, it's an accepted thing. That's what newspapers are about, right? It's an accepted thing. You can't do that. Even if it's true, I'm talking about something which is true. Forget newspapers. You say just find things and they, you know, they put it in disproportion. Most of the things aren't even true what they say. Anyway. Okay. It's an important thing to go to the mikveh Erev Yom Kippur, Mishum Keri, just like you did in Erev Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. It's more of an Indian Erev Yom Kippur, Mishum Keri, so you'll get Tara from everything, right?
Purity.
No, forget the dips now. Just go.
Rabbi Gershfeld said that we don't ever need to go to the mikveh.
Why?
It's a minhag.
It's a minhag.
Yeah, it's a minhag that's written in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah.
It's a bit.
Yecholet vole lekot matay sheyotze, rak sheyeh kodim alayla, ve'enu mevarech
al ha'tefila.
Right? Yeah. Some people do vidui, some people do what's it called? A thing. Right, Geshe Paul was probably saying, because, you know, for you guys, but there's an Indian, right?
Not to get too caught up into this idea of going to mikveh instead of worrying about, like, I think it was probably in the context of what the Mosai Yerusharim class.
All
true
disease.
Yeah.
It's like, we have enough to worry about. We don't need to go to the
mikveh. Yeah, okay.
Going to the mikveh, just because if you go to the mikveh, it's not necessarily enough. Meaning, like, in the context of, say, the shasharim, it's still important to do.
You have to go because it's the from thing to do, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Outside of other kind of considerations.
Look. Everyone has to know where they're holding in terms of doing things. Going to the mikveh is important for a certain stage in your life. If it's not relate, you don't relate to it, you don't, you know. So I'm not telling you guys what to do. So, but there are people, you know, people who go to the mikveh. A lot of people who aren't the big tzaddikim go to the mikveh. It's a minhag Yisrael, and people do the Erev Yom Kippur, right? It's yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? So, like, and it's, there's a feeling of the chag, you feel. So, you know, it's a bring, you know, just as you wear clothes, you wear nice clothes, you wear white, some people wear white. I don't know. People do different. There's different minhagim for different things, you know. You wear a kittel, right? A lot of the married men wear kittels, right? They're so pure and so white. They wear kittels. It's a minhag. You understand? I'm not saying you guys, you know, marry, you wear kittels, you know, if you're married or whatever. I'm not telling you, oh, you wear a hat, right? I'm not telling you guys, you know what I'm saying? Hat's not the same as a kittel. Kittel's written, hat's, like, you know. But there are concepts. There are things which awaken us to things. They awaken us. Certain actions awaken us. That's the whole point. You know, we're doing tshuva, we're doing slichas, right? The whole point of all these slichas, right? We get up early, we're saying slichas, right? What's the point of the slichas? We're saying slichas. What's the point of them? To do tshuva, right?
To get ready for it.
To do tshuva, you're doing vidui. When you're doing slichas, you're doing vidui. You're doing tshuva. That's the point, is to be more aware you to tshuva. It's to waken you up to tshuva. This whole period of time is called the 10 days of tshuva. It's to awaken you to tshuva. That's the point. We should be doing tshuva these days. That, now, really, what that means is we should be sitting down with a pen and paper, right, and trying to work out, what are we living for? Because tshuva means to return to your essence. It means to work out who you are. Now, you're not going to work that out in 10 days, but at least start thinking about where you're going with your life. At least there's some sort of semblance. That's what tshuva is. You can't return to your essence if you don't know what your essence is.
How do you know what your essence is?
You don't. Who knows? You think anyone really knows? It takes a lot of work. But you can start. All a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to do is start.
How can you start? Where do you start?
You start by thinking. You start by taking 5 minutes of your day, not doing anything else, and just thinking. And ask a simple question. What am I living for? That's it.
And how long are you going to ask yourself this?
Till you get a good answer. No, you don't have to. 5 minutes a day. It's 5 minutes every day. For 10 days, it's 50 minutes. Not a long time. Right? You spend more time eating. Right? But 5 minutes, there should be that question in our minds. What am I living for? What's this life all about? Who am I? Why was I planted in this world for? Simple questions. These are important questions that every single human being should ask. At least we should ask them when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kiviyachol, is coming down to us and say, hey guys, I'm the king of the world. This is your purpose. Okay. But I'm too busy learning Torah, going to shiurim, eating, sleeping, doing slichas, and I'm not thinking about what I'm here for. So let's think of it.
That leads to my question. Would you be better off if your day is that packed? Should you skip shir? Should you skip slichos and say, look, I'm doing this, but I'm reading about other people's tshuva, and I need time for it to do my own tshuva?
No. Take out 5 minutes from your sleep. And do all things you do. You just have to 5 minutes less sleeping instead of the 5 minutes on the emails and the internet. Or the 25 minutes, or the 55 minutes on the internet, you spend 5 minutes on this. 5 minutes in your day, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not a big deal. Don't need to stop anything from your life. You just need to take a little 5 minutes off. You know you can do it? When you go into bed, the light's off, no one's around, just you and your Creator. I mean, there are other people around, but as far as you're concerned, no one's around. just you and Creator, and you sit there on your bed and you think, hello.
Yeah,
I didn't say cheshbon nefesh. I said simple. Cheshbon nefesh is like, what did I do with my day today? Did I improve? Did I do good things? Did I, what bad things that I did? I'm not talking about detail. I'm talking about knowing what I'm living for. Simple. Simple, at least these 10 days I should be asking the question. The problem with life is it's such a turmoil and such a busy life. We don't stop and think about it. Stop and think about it. That's it. Simple. Are you with me?
No, I do. I'm a huge proponent of it, but I haven't found the balance here yet.
Go to the woods. Some people go to the woods. And breast of them, they go to the woods and they scream and they talk to their Creator. You can do it quietly. You don't have to scream in the woods. You can go into your bedroom.
It's just
5 minutes everyone has. 10 minutes even we have. You can do it once a week. You know, on Shabbos we have such a big meal and we take such a long walk. Take a little walk by yourself. Talk a walk around far enough and let you clear your mind a little and think about what's it all about. So we need to do vidui in the mincha before Yom Kippur. What's the worry? It's brought down. Perhaps something will happen in the Suda and Chas v'Shalom, we might choke and die. How come we're not worried about doing vidui before any meal? How comes Erev Yom Kippur we're worried that the person might die in the middle of his meal? What happened here?
It's the last one.
Because we're coming up to a time where Kodesh Baruch Hu says, this is the time for tshuva. Prepare yourselves. If at this stage you haven't done tshuva, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu is with you and he's coming down to be mekape you and to clean you up, and you haven't done tshuva, it's bringing on you a very big judgment. If the king comes in, this guy is knocking on your door. You see he's in the top of the house and the house is still a mess and you're still wearing your farmer's clothes. The king's going to be annoyed. Closeness means expectations. When Kodesh Baruch Hu is close to us, he expects from us more. That's why being part of the Jewish people, they have higher expectations from you. There's a certain closeness, you expected more. You don't do what's more, you have more punishment. You with me? Especially these days. If these are days where Kodesh Baruch Hu is closer, he's coming close to us, you're not more aware, you don't awaken to that closeness, it's judgment. So Yom Kippur is a day of our judgment, but it's also a day of our kapara. Yom Kippur ends with Ne'ilah, which is the final judgment, the final seal on our judgment. It's also Kapala Satorah. It's also the biggest influence that you can get in the whole year around from Kodesh Baruch Hu in His mercy. How can you have judgment and the highest level of mercy at the same time? It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu coming to your house and saying, "You, I want you as my prince, my Evid, my servant, my prince. Do you want the job?" Oh, I'll think about it. I'm giving you the best job in the country and you'll think about it? You should be jumping for it. If you're thinking about it, that means you're not interested in it. That's your purpose. You're missing out on life. The king's going to be angry with you. Or you ma'orer yourself, you awakened yourself to that level of closeness or the judgment. It's a double-sided coin. You understand what I'm saying? So that means we want closeness. And closeness means closeness to his Torah, to his will, and to his being and living according to his Torah. Whatever that means, we don't know what it means yet. Just that will to want is sufficient. It has to be that will to want. Do you want to be part of us? Do you wanna find out what you're living for? Just the rotzen, the will to want is sufficient at this stage. Okay? Yeah? With me? Alright, go weiter now. And that's why we have to make this video, because if we don't do this video, it's as if, you know, Yom Kippur is coming and we're not awakening to it. All right. Now, in the tefillah, you'll see there's a whole sort of, every tefillah goes like this. Every tefillah is Shmona Esrei, Vidui, Slichas, or Slichas, however it comes. And every tefillah, the purpose of all the tefillahs in Yom Kippur is, each tefillah brings us to a higher level of recognition. Because otherwise it doesn't make sense. You already did Vidui. You're going to spend 5 times doing Vidui? I mean, I did it 2 seconds ago. I did it half an hour ago. I'm going to do it again? Yes. Why? Because each tefillah brings you to a higher level of closeness. And on each tefillah, on the higher level of closeness, you need a new cleansing of self. You with me? So it means each tefillah, as the day goes on, by the time we get to Ne'ilah, and the Ne'ilah is going to be the highest point that we're getting, and Ne'ilah is Yom Kippur. What day is Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is the day we receive the Torah. That's the highest point of connection. We're going up with our davening and with our inuim of not eating and etc. to tefillah, into to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to reach that level of closeness, which is considered receiving His Ratzon, which is Kabbalah Satera. Okay. Now, Vidui has to be done standing up. If you don't do it standing up, it's not considered Vidui, unless you're particularly tired or not feeling good or weak, then you can do it sitting down.
And this comes on Yom Kippur?
Yeah, Vidui is on Yom Kippur. Davening and Vidui, you know what Vidui is? Hashem, Lut, Bagad, and then there's Al-Chet. There's a whole list of Al-Chet according to the Aleph base, which we say.
What if you don't know what you're saying?
Say in English. Al-Chet, you should say in English if you don't know what you're saying. There's no point saying in Hebrew if you don't understand what you're saying. You have to say in English. Okay? All the davening is... Davening also, it's better to do in English if you don't know in Hebrew. Parts of it you can do in Hebrew if you want. But the better to do in a language that you understand. Okay?
All the davening?
Yeah. If you don't understand your davening, yeah. Now, we eat a Suda Mafseket just before the night. And, I mean, you'll see that in the Yeshiva, the Suda just before the night. And you should eat, but you shouldn't eat too much. You shouldn't eat... that you're stuffed. It's not good for you. Anyway, it's not good. It's more important, just generally speaking, 3 days before, just a bit of a help, 3 days before Yom Kippur, start drinking a lot. Make sure you drink those 3 days. It'll be in your system and make it easier for you. Okay. All right. You should add from the daytime to the night. It's called Tosefet Yom Kippur. You should add. We do that anyway because we have to do Ne'ilah, we have to do Kol Nidre, which is, you understand what Kol Nidre is? Kol Nidre is making a proclamation that any vow that I make without remembering this proclamation, the vow is nullified, and it's also, the concept of Kol Nidre is of nullifying our vows, those which we didn't do. Normally you do, you know, I don't know if you do Hataras Nedarim here, but you do, but even still, it's Kol Nidre. And then after the Kol Nidre, we usually accept the Yom Kippur on ourselves. Okay? Women accept it. And candle lighting, men in the Shechianu after Kol Nidre. The Brach, we say, everyone says Shechianu, right? Or we say Amen. The Sheikh Sibu says Shechianu, we say Amen. That's Kabbalah, that's receiving the Chag from that moment on. Okay?
When the men say Shechianu?
After the Kol Nidre. Shechianu? In Shul, yeah, in Shul. Okay. All right. Now we say. Okay.
We already covered leather shoes.
Oh yeah, we're getting there. Yeah. Okay, there's a lot of halachas here. All right. Basically, you know, you can't eat and you can't drink. You can't anoint oneself. That means you can't. Perfume is best not to put because it's liquidy. But
what about sprints?
Yeah. It's better not to. It's better not to. It's better not to. You could. Yeah. It's better not to. It's better not to. It's not a. Huh? It's not so simple that it's also because it's not really sicha. You're not doing it for sicha. You're doing it to get rid of a thing. It's not considered rechitza. So then it's like removing. You're allowed to remove dirt. So it's like getting rid of your smell, something like that. So it could be it's mutter mikra din. But it's not something you really need to do.
You can put deodorant on beforehand, right?
Yeah, you can.
Can you rinse your face off with water?
No, on Yom Kippur you can't rinse your face. You can't wash.
Not wash?
Better not to.
Better
not to. Because if you do, it has to be less than a vase, but it's better not to. Less than 80 cc's, it's better not to.
Can't you just have a small little candy on Yom Kippur?
No.
A small little candy, you're allowed to. If it's a certain size, you're allowed to eat.
No, you're not. Who told you that? You're not allowed to. This is the raisa.
Small cup of coffee.
Eat anything at all?
Anything at all. Is
eat awesome. A small cup.
It's a good. The Gemara's in Yuma. Less than a shear is an isidoraisa, according to halacha.
Less than a
shear. Small. A mashu. To eat a mashu is an isidoraisa, yeah.
Smaller than an olive is.
Yeah, it's an isidoraisa.
So what do you eat? A small little like tic tac?
Doesn't matter. It's also nidaraisa.
You do not eat.
You can't eat anything. I explained it. You can't eat anything. This is nidaraisa.
We can't have marital relations.
Yeah, you can't have. Okay, that's not how you have marital relations. Or it doesn't only mean marital relations. It means any of, you know.
Wasting.
Yeah.
That's, we can't do that anyway.
Yeah, you can't do that anyway. But there's big. Here there's an nidaraisa more than regular. And there's a big inyan of not that happening on Yom Kippur. That's why I told you there was a minig. There's a minig, like just a Kohen Gadol used to stay up the whole night, so that wouldn't happen to him. Kohen Gadol, we're talking about.
If your face is sweaty or oily or whatever, can you wipe it with a towel?
Yeah, you can. Now there's you can. For us, I don't want to give you the. You can if you can. If you have a little bit of moisture on a towel, that if you touch the towel, and you put your finger on another place, there won't be moisture in that place, right? So then the towel is not considered moist and you can use the towel. But generally speaking, we can wipe our faces with a dry-ish towel. Dry-ish. Right? And I don't give you, it's hard to give the exact, better to use drier than wetter. Yeah. Not dry. Dry-ish. If it's cool but it's dry, you can put it, cover it, do your face with it. But it shouldn't be wet.
Can you take a little bit of water and make your hair not look like you rolled out of bed?
No. You can't use a comb either. Like it's like Shabbos. You can't. No.
So Shabbos and
you can't put all this stuff. Some people on their head.
Just water.
Water. No, nothing.
No water.
No, just got like that with your hand.
Leather shoes.
No one's gonna worry about it. No one's gonna notice.
No, fine. Yeah.
What kind of leather? Is
leather. You can't wear leather shoes. You can wear leather belts. Not a problem. Leather shoes. You can't wear. You can wear Crocs. Man-made leather, you can wear
sneakers and everything else is leather
from me.
Doesn't matter. What's leather? If it's part of its leather, the sole or the top.
No, it's just like all fancy colors.
This leather?
It's not leather.
So that's fine.
So wear nice suit and sneakers, like shiny running sneakers.
Yeah, that's fine. As long as it's not leather.
Can you, with a completely dry toothbrush, gently brush?
Better not to.
What about floss?
If you do better it, not to, because if you bleed, it's a problem. Even Shabbos is a problem. Generally speaking, you shouldn't. You could, in regular day, you could use mouthwash.
You didn't eat anyways. You're fine.
You know, I would tell you anything. After you eat a Yom Kippur, very simple thing. You should brush your teeth because there's shariot that remain in your mouth, and you swallow it afterwards. But you should brush your teeth. It's better to brush your teeth, floss your teeth, wash it out with mouthwash. Not a problem. Do all those things before Yom Kippur. Believe me, you're not eating anything Yom Kippur. Nothing's going to happen to your teeth.
I'm asking actually for Yom Kippur, but also for Shabbos. These are actually some questions that have been latent for Shabbos.
Okay, we'll keep them for later, because there's a lot more halakha than Yom Kippur.
Okay, sorry.
All right. Yeah. So you can't anoint yourself. We said you can't wash yourself. Now, how do you wash yourself in the morning? You wash until here. Kishrei Etzvotav. Until here. Knuckles.
This way.
So, I thought it was first knuckle.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry, yeah, you're right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, until here.
This would be the first knuckle.
Yeah. 1 second.
The first halachic
knuckle. No, I heard
the first knuckle counted from the hand.
Yeah.
These are not knuckles.
1 second. It says in halacha, Atzov Kishrei Etzvotav, that's here. The end of your second knuckle. You walk and wash till here. Now, it's like Tisha B'Av. Now, Kohen, when he goes to Duchen, he washes his whole hand, so he can wash his whole hand.
Who?
A Kohen.
Oh.
Okay,
so,
but I'm. And
wash the Kohen up to their wrist?
Yeah, that you can do. Okay, that's it. You can now when you go to the toilet, the same thing. You can wash your hands till here. You go to the toilet, right? Stuff like that. You can't wash till here. You can wash till here. Now, if for some reason you're dirty in any place, that the place where you're dirty, you can wash because you're not doing the whole point. You shouldn't be doing anything for your benefit, for your pleasure. If it's due to remove dirt, you're allowed to. That's what I'm saying. The spray that you're actually doing on your body to remove bad smell might be okay. because you're doing it, so to speak, to remove dirt. But I wouldn't do it because it's an extra thing, not because of halacha. So it's just a little bit extra.
Go one spritz instead of two.
Yeah.
So
no.
If there's a day of atonement, you're supposed to cry, like you wail.
Yeah. You're supposed to cry about your averas. You're supposed to ask forgiveness. Yeah, you're
it's
supposed
like
to.
Tisha B'Av times 10.
No, it's not Tisha B'Av. It's a happy time. You're being cleansed. Kadosh Baruch Hu is coming. It's happy. The king is coming in. You're happy. You're crying because he's coming in. You feel that closeness. But the crying isn't a crying of despair. It's a crying of yearning.
So the only thing we're supposed to ask for forgiveness and mercy.
Yeah, and
Al Chet Shechata.
Yeah, you can ask for whatever you want, but let me tell you something like this. The king is coming in, right? King is coming to a child. He says to the child, sees a nice little cute little child, and says, what do you want? He says, you can pick out anything you want from my treasures. And there's a big giant diamond over there.
Cookie bar?
Right, the big giant diamond over there. Right? And the kid asks for a lollipop. The father says, why don't you get the diamond? The kid walks around. You start asking for, you know, can I have, I don't know, X, Y, and Z. He's around. You can ask for important things. Get the important things. Okay, you fill everything in. Okay, fine.
I'm not saying the important things, but is where you're leading.
You can ask.
The important thing is to get forgiveness, and therefore you shouldn't ask for anything else.
No. You can ask. You can ask whatever you want. It's a time you can ask, but ask the important things. Ask for those things which are really important. If you have an understanding of life, whatever. Yeah, ask what's important. Now, what else? If you're ill, if a person's ill or has a very bad headache, you should ask a rabbi. It could be you could take a Panadol. Or Akamol, whatever you call them, right? Could be. And the question is, do they take it with water, without water, right? Best without water, you can swallow. If you take with water, you should ask a rabbi. No. You should ask a rabbi, and a rabbi will explain what to do. It could be that if a person knows about himself that he's going to get major headaches or migraines and stuff like that, and needs to take a Panadol or whatever he needs to take, whatever medicine, if a person needs to take certain medicine that he normally takes during the week. So it could be you grind it up in the water if you can't swallow it and make the water bad taste and then swallow the whole thing. Okay? But you'll speak to a rabbi, huh? And you'll grind it before Yom Kippur.
Oh, yeah. It's the Rabbi Ben Shaul
said,
right?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
Rabbi Tiyah Ben Shaul.
Could be. Yeah.
We're still out of use.
If your hands are dirty, you can use soap. If your hands aren't dirty, just until it in the morning or something like that, you know, until it, so just use water. If you need to use soap, you can use soap.
Can you do water that's very, very strong with tea, like very so bitter? You can drink that?
If you're ill. If you're not ill, you can't drink it. If you're not ill, it's an Issa Derabbanan. If you're ill, it's mutter. Ill means it's a very bad headache. Ill means that you have to lie down. Mm-hmm. Right? But you should know that you can take medicines if you're feeling ill. Not, you don't have to be dying to take medicine on Yom Kippur. If you're ill, that you need to rest on a bed, or if you're ill, there's a bad headache or bad pain, you can take. So if people have reasons for taking medicines, they should ask a rabbi. They are heterim. Okay, there's still more halachas. We might have to make another time for doing it. Okay?